In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Giz Laszlo, the lead singer in the LA punk band Foreclosure. They've been issuing a series of singles over the past several months, and their song Moon at Noon is a recent coolest song in the world. We'll hear some of that now, and then I'll chat with Giz on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Here, and it's time now for your coolest conversations. It goes on every Friday, and my guest today is Giz Laszlo, lead singer of the LA punk band Foreclosure. Their single Moon at Noon is this week's coolest song in the world. Hey Giz, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. You know, my understanding is that the band Foreclosure is from the LA area. Where are you from originally?
I've always been from Los Angeles. I'm 53, so I grew up, born and raised here, but I've lived all over the world and different places. So, but all of us are from the Los Angeles area.
Okay, and you're here in LA now. I know, so you're at Foreclosure, you're the lead vocalist?
Yes.
To other bands like the UK Subs and the Freeze, I see you listed as having been the drummer. So are drums your first instrument?
Yeah, I grew up playing drums. Probably around 13 years old, and then 16 I was in my first band, and I haven't looked back. I've done this for well over 30 years, touring worldwide, and music just spoke to me as a young child, and I've been fortunate enough and blessed enough to get to do what I love to do with anybody I like to do it with. You know, I love music, playing drums or singing.
Well, why did you start playing the drums? What pulled you to the drums?
Peter Criss from Kiss. I saw Kiss when I was 6 years old in Detroit, and my cousins took me to a circus that I had no idea was going to be a psycho circus, and I'm a cat lover, so seeing a cat play drums and sing at a young age, I was just like, that's what I want to do, and again, I'm fortunate enough to have lived that dream.
Well, you know, when we were finished with the interview, I want Sammy to show you his Kiss skulls that he has.
I would love to see that.
He went off screen pretty quick, and he is now. You may be a general in the Kiss Army. You may be. I'm telling you, Sammy is the field marshal.
I have my Kiss tattoo.
Well, what was your first drum kit?
It was a Ludwig. A friend of mine. He was an older friend of the family, and he had a drum set, and he gave me a Ludwig kit, and that's how I learned to play. And then actually in this room, I learned how to play drums, listening to vinyl. And took me a few years just to learn one song, but it was just a determination of, you know, I'm going to learn how to play this thing. I'm not going to take lessons. I'm just going to learn it.
And, well, what was the song?
Rock and Roll All Night.
All right.
Well, it was easy to differentiate the drums to me. So I was like, okay, I can do this.
Were your parents supportive of your drumming, your music pursuits?
At first, not really, because they just, you know, all they heard was a bunch of pounding and they thought the Indians were going to come or it was going to start raining because that's all they heard.
Yeah.
But as I grew older, my dad, you know, he was like, hey, you got to do something. You can't just do this for the rest of your life. And then in 1993, I went on my first European tour. When I came back, my father sat down with me for 16 hours to watch all the video that I'd recorded in Europe. And when he saw me in front of the Eiffel Tower is when my dad said, hey, you know, I'm proud of you. You said you were going to do something and you did it. So I'm proud of you. And from that point on, my dad supported me to do anything and everything that I wanted to do. And as a result, here we are, you know, well over 30 years later. I've played with over 70 bands and my name is on almost 200 records. So I've really done a lot. I've toured Europe multiple times, at least 18 times, the US 8 times, and Canada 4 times, and been to Mexico a few times to play. It's just, you know, you're a musician as well, you know, like the love and passion that you have to be on stage, and you know, the fans to me are the most important part of it, you know. Without
right.
them, we don't have anything.
I wanted to ask you then, so you go over to, you play Europe the first time. How did you get yourself looped into like playing with the UK Subs and the Freeze and these long established kind of punk bands?
In 1993, I was asked to join which was my favorite band at the time. It was a local LA punk band called Bad Town Boys. And I'd always loved them. And in 1992, I had a bout of cancer. And during one of my chemo sessions when I was home, my friends decided, you know, and one of those friends was actually Lewis, the guitar player for Closure. But they took me to the to Raji's in Hollywood. Oh. I went to go see the band. Afterwards, I walked out and I saw the singer and the bass player. And I mean, I had no hair. I was gray from all the chemo. And I walked up to him and I said, one of these days, I'm going to be your drummer. And about a year later, their drummer unfortunately broke his arm before a tour. And they called me up and said, hey, we need you for, you know, 6 weeks. Can you do it? And I was just like, of course, I'm ready, you know. And I just went into remission. And I think 3 weeks into that 6 week tour, the band asked me to come in full time. Came home, recorded a record, and then from that point on, we were on New Red Archives, which is Nicky Garrett from the UK Subs label, and that's how I got that gig in 1999, and then again in 2006. In 2006, I toured with Dr. No, and from that, the Freeze, we toured with the Freeze on that tour, and then in 2011, the Freeze asked me to join them for a European tour and a record, so... You know, the Subs and Bad Town Boys basically opened up my doors, and you know, I loved it so much that I have never looked back. I don't want to do anything else. This is what I do.
Well, I want to ask you next about Foreclosure, but first, also you play drums in a German punk band called Bad Advice.
Yes.
So, did you come across those folks when in the midst of your Euro tours, or how did you hook up with them?
They were, you know. It's a three-piece band, so those two original members, they were just fans, and they reached out on Facebook and just asked me, hey, if you know anybody here in Germany who can, you know, lend their talents to help us out with this tour, we'd really appreciate it. So I told them to send me the songs, and I'll listen to them, and then I'll find somebody who I think would be, you know, a good fit for you guys. And in listening to the songs, and then I looked at the tour dates, I was like, they're going to be in Europe on my birthday. I'll do this once. And I decided, I'll do it for you. And Did that first European tour in 2015, and I've been with them ever since. Done like 3 records with them. And I interviewed Sebastian last night for my podcast, and we talked a lot about our humble beginnings, and it's been great, you know.
Well, I want to ask of you about that podcast in a moment, but let's focus some on foreclosure. Mm-hmm. So when do you guys form, and why? Why did you guys get together?
Well, originally, we were a band called For Sale, Lewis and I. And that band started in 1992, again, because I was a drummer. But when I was diagnosed with cancer and going through chemo, I couldn't play drums for like a whole year. And for all the surgeries and chemo. So Lewis said, hey, instead of you just stopping music, you know, you're a pretty good singer. Why don't you just sing for us and we'll start something new, you know, just to keep you occupied, you know, keep your mind and, you know, body, you know, occupied. And we started For Sale, and we did that for about a year, maybe a year and a half. And then we broke up, and then we joined other bands. And then in 2016, I believe, Lewis was diagnosed with the same cancer I was 30 years prior.
Can I ask you what cancer is that?
Testicular.
Okay.
And when Lewis was diagnosed, I called him, obviously, just to, you know, give him some, you know, words of advice and you know, try to be there as a friend. And he told me, like, hey, man, I haven't played in a couple of years, and I think I need to do what we did for you. Like, I need to keep my mind occupied. Would you mind helping me out? I said, of course. And we did For Sale again with a couple of new members. And we did that for a couple of years. And then we were deciding, okay, let's start recording like these songs that we had written.
Right.
And then two of the guys in the band kind of like, you know, got lost in the horizon, let's say. And Lewis and I decided, hey, look, you know, let's finish the songs, just me and you, and we'll find a drummer, and which we found Wall. And let's just finish recording all these songs. But instead of calling it For Sale, why don't we just do it For Closure? And I was like, oh, I like that. And the name stuck. And when this was only supposed to be a project to record and the remaining songs that he and I had written and call it quits. But in the midst of all that, Lewis said something really profound to me that he was like, dude, I just want to be in a band with my friends. Yeah. You know, I don't want to worry about anything like shows, touring, records. I just want to be in a band with my friends.
Let's mention the rest of these guys' names. So it's Lewis, and his last name is
Estefania.
Okay. Yeah. He's on guitar. You mentioned Wall on drums. This is Wall Rashidi.
Correct.
Okay. And then the bass, Steve
Willinken.
Okay. And on the second guitar, Mark Maxey.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And so there's Steve and Mark. You guys knew them. You and Lewis knew them from the scene, or what other bands?
Yeah. Lewis and Mark go back a long time. I'm just getting to know him. I met him maybe a year or two ago, and I love the guy. He's just so into the music, and he was in a band called Justice League, and he's in a band called Sloth Fist from Texas, and it's just a really cool guy. He's so mellow and easy to work with. And Steve Lincoln, I've known since the late 80s. We were in a band together back in 89, 90 called IDK here in the Valley, and they were an extraordinary psychedelic punk band, and that's how we got to know each other. And then he married my best friend, who was our old bass player's sister. Uh-huh. So he's been part of our family, you know, for forever. So it's kind of weird, because I always thought he was like a hardcore like bass player, and now he's in a pop punk band. I'm like, oh wow. it's very like weird. But well, I love the guy.
Let's talk some about this coolest song in the world this week, the single Moon at Noon. And my understanding is you wrote the song after your father suffered a heart attack. Can you tell us how all that went down?
About 5 years ago, my father had his first heart attack here in the house. It was the day after Mother's Day. And I just had so happened that I took my mother out for Mother's Day with my dad. And when we got home, And I had a couple of drinks and, you know, was hanging out with my dad. And I decided, all right, you know what, I'm just going to spend the night. And luckily I did, because like 6:30 that next morning, on Monday morning, my mom is just, you know, screaming and for help. So I ran into my dad's bedroom and I didn't know what was going on, but I kind of figured that he was having a heart attack just by the way his body was reacting.
Yeah.
So I just started doing CPR until the paramedics got there. He was in a coma for about 8 days. When he came out of the coma, I was relieved, but my dad suffered a little bit of brain damage. Uh-huh. So he lost his short-term memory. But during those weeks of like not knowing, you know, my father's been an athlete and a construction worker his whole life, a hardworking man.
Yeah.
So to see him down, it was really weird. So I had no idea how to take it. And as musicians do, Lewis sent me a song and I was listening to it outside on my front porch one night. And the words just started coming to me and I wrote this song. And I never thought anything about it, to be honest. I just always thought that, you know, Lewis and I wrote, you know, a song about my dad just to, you know, and here we are 5 years later. Now you guys picked it up and it's like I don't even know what you would call it, but like the feedback that we're getting from our friends and our fans and you guys, it's like, it's amazing. Like, you know, here's the song. And unfortunately, my father passed away a few weeks ago and he got to hear the song before he passed. And it's, you know, just the little momentum that the song is getting right now, it just feels like my dad's, you know, watching over my career now and going, hey, you know, like, let's lighten up the load a little bit, you know?
When and where did you record the tune?
We recorded it. I would say about a year and a half ago in Redlands. So in the Riverside area.
Okay.
And it was at a place called The Studio.
And the idea is that the group really is, you know, coming together to record these songs that you and Lewis had kind of floating around before. Did you wind up recording the whole album at that time?
We recorded half of it. Because we just thought, we'll just do a couple of singles or maybe a 7-inch. And then we had more songs that, you know, Wall and the guys were into. So we're like, hey, why don't we just record this batch? So I think what we're going to be doing here in the future is just every, you know, 6 months or a year, we're going to just record five songs, and just do this waterfall of releases and singles.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly at the end of a year, well, if we have enough songs or we like all the songs, we'll put them on vinyl and just do a full length of everything.
Well, when is this first full length due out then?
We're shooting for this summer.
Okay.
So
do you have a title for it?
We're jumping back and forth in titles right now. Okay. I think our bass player, he's a master of, he hears any title and he can just change it into something, you know, kind of funny sounding.
Uh-huh.
And we were the drummer and I, Wall, it just seems that every time we play a show, we show up and we're wearing the same band t-shirt, you know, and he goes, you guys are telepathetic. And I was like, oh, wow, I like that. So if that might be a title, who knows?
Telepathetic. It's a pretty good title.
Yeah.
So I know you've been in the studio many times with lots of different players. Was there anything unique about the recording experience with Foreclosure?
Again, this is one of the first times in a long time that I was able to walk into the studio and just do what I do and then go home. You know, it wasn't, nothing was forced, you know, I just got to go in there and have fun. And that, again, that's what this band is all about, is just to have fun. You know, we're all in our 50s. We've experienced our successes individually. Hopefully we get to do it together, but that's not the whole concept of the band. It's just to have fun. Five friends just having fun. And so to go in the studio and just record my vocals, my lead vocals, and then I bring them home. I have my own studio here in my house. And I get to do all my backing vocals here in my studio and then send them in. And it's just easy. It's fun. And we're writing some amazing tunes. And, you know, like, look at you guys, like, picking up our songs. That's it's incredible. And again, I thank you guys for, you know, reaching out and having us. So it's cool to have the coolest song in the world.
Well, deservedly so.
Thank you.
So you're five guys having fun, and you know want to have fun, and you get together and you record. But now, you didn't actually play out until the first time until last fall. Is that right?
Yeah. We played one show that we thought was just going to be a one-off, and we played at the Corbin Bowl in Tarzana, and with a couple of friends' bands, and it was actually for the reunion of a band called Rhythm Collision, who were friends of ours way back in the early 90s. And they broke up for probably a couple of decades. And when they got back together, they asked us if we'd open up for them. And we're, of course, yeah, we'll do it. And again, we just thought it was going to be a one-off show, but just the crowd response and our friends and old fans, new fans, it just seemed right to, you know, if we want to do it again, let's do it. And then we waited a few months, and then this month, we did two nights in a row a few weeks ago. And then last weekend, it was actually the day after my dad's funeral. We left to San Diego and played Long Beach. And, you know, it was just, again, that the whole thing surrounding my dad, like, you know, like, hey, you know, the show must go on. I think he had a second heart attack, and I had some shows in Guadalajara. And he was just like, don't cancel your trip. Go, you know, and you know, he's always like, you know, don't worry about me. I can handle it. I can handle it. I got your mom. You just go do what you like to do. You know, at the end of his life, he finally told me that, you know, that you figured out what life is. You know, it's about having fun and being happy. And you found that. And I always see you doing what you do. And you're always happy when you're on stage. So just do that. That's what you love to do. Then do it. And so the day after his funeral, we drove down to San Diego and played a show. And now everything I do, I dedicate to my dad, because it's just, yeah, it's, he's there, you know.
How's your mom doing?
She's doing okay. I think we're both still a little numb. Yeah. We have our ups and downs, but it's, you know, my mom and dad were married for almost 54 years. And it, you know, no bullshit. Like, it's probably one of the only relationships that I've ever witnessed that I never saw them fight. I never saw them argue, never saw them bicker. They were always happy to just be together. You know, they were the perfect couple. And to have my dad, you know, not be a part of this anymore, it's just kind of weird.
Do you have any siblings?
No, I'm an only child for a Mexican family.
Yeah, so I saw that, I guess, on a listing somewhere that you guys had played, like you mentioned several times in February, like at the, so the Sardine and San Pedro?
Yeah.
And the Redwood, downtown LA, Supply and Demand in Long Beach. Do you have any upcoming gigs?
Right now, as a matter of fact, before we went, you know, on air, I got a bunch of texts from people, and they're offering shows. That we got offered a tour in June, July in Canada. Wow. And the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, excellent.
With a band from Canada called Off by an Inch. So I think we're going to be doing that. Until then, I think we're just going to concentrate on maybe one or two shows just to keep loose.
Right.
But we'd have nothing like right now booked. I have a lot of offers, but yeah.
Well, good luck sorting that out. I wanted to ask you about, now you, you're quite the media man. I mean, not only are you a musician, singer, but you've also got a podcast. You know, tell me what the podcast is about.
It's a podcast called You Know What You Should Do. I'm a host, and my co-host is Just Paul. He's been a fan of mine since the early 90s. I met him in, I want to say, 2010 at our 20th anniversary show. And I met him probably about 6 or 8 months ago, again, at a studio that I was rehearsing at with another band that I'm in called LA Slumlords, and that I play drums for. His best friend is the bass player. So he came in, we re-met each other. And in our conversations, it became very evident that we were very like-minded musically. But he sold this idea to me. He's like, dude, we should do our own podcast. And I was like, okay, why? And he said, because like, I like the dynamic of like, I'm the guy that was in the crowd and you're the guy that's on the stage. And I want to talk about music from those two points. And I really admired that because I had a podcast before with a friend of mine from Canada, called Another Manic Monday. And it was just two guys, two singers talking about the bands we loved. So after about a year of that, not that it got old, but it was just like, you know, where do we go from here? You know? Yeah. And so we stopped doing it. And plus my dad was sick, so I had to stop doing it. And when I started this podcast in last month in January, it just seemed to work because we're here in the same town and we're always hanging out with each other. So every Monday, let's just do a podcast and talk about music. But again, because of the whole, he's the guy, you know, that's in the crowd, I'm the guy that's on the stage, the dynamic that we have is like, he's pretty old school, like, you know, through and through. He, punk rock stopped in 92 to him, you know? And for me,
that late?
Yeah. Then I'm just being, you know, very, you know, modest
right.
about it.
right.
But for me, like, I'm 53 years old. I have no children. I'm not married. I have my mom now. That's it. And as a musician who has been honored and blessed to play with some legendary bands, I want to take all that knowledge that I have and I need to pass it on to the younger generation. So I've, you know, been meeting a lot of these younger musicians and just trying to teach them, like, you know, it's not just being a punk rocker is not just, you know, going out there swearing on stage, getting drunk and having relationships with everybody you can. To me, it is a community. It is a family and you help each other out. And to me, it's about the fans. And I'm teaching that little by little to these new kids that I'm meeting. You know, they're in their late 20s now. And, you know, it's a big gentleman.
Late 20s, children.
Yeah.
Yes. Totally kids. Yeah.
So, but you know, I don't get how kids survive nowadays because everything is so much different than when we grew up, you know?
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of my friends the other day. He's in a band called Couch Surf. His name is Eli. And he's 27 and he's got this wonderful band. And I think he's an amazing singer. And I'm just trying to teach him, like, you know, like, I love what you do. You're always on social media, but always be humble and remember where you came from and, you know, stick to your guns, but always be a gentleman. You know, no matter what happens, be a gentleman. Don't, if somebody pisses you off, don't just go out there and start hitting people with microphone stands. You know, like, just be a gentleman, take it. And if there, you know, there are times that maybe it has to come to them like that. You know, we are punks, but, you know, for the most part, it's just have respect. You know, how hard is that? You know, I look at Dave Grohl, you know, who's an amazing person. He's out there playing with everybody in the world and he's just a gentleman about it. He doesn't come off as an arrogant, you know, asshole. You know, that's what I dig about punk rock. You know, there's no such thing as a punk rock star. You know,
there's no what?
There's no such thing as a punk rock star.
Punk rock star, right.
Yeah, we're all just a bunch of punks, you know, and we play music. We're punk rock musicians. And
well, we talked about this coolest song, "The World This Week," "Moon at Noon." That came out in January. You guys have got a newer single out now as of March 1st, came out, called "No Condition." Correct. I don't want us to go out on that track. So what's the story on "No Condition"?
"No Condition" is, unfortunately, it's about someone else who has passed in my life. A girlfriend I had a few years ago, and she passed away. And that song just kind of was kind of like a story about an evening that we had. And, you know, I just decided to write about it one day before she passed. I wrote the song, and then after she passed, we started working on it more and we recorded it. And it's one of those songs, again, like, it's like "Moon at Noon." Like, you would, you would think our like Carousel is a pretty like straightforward punk rock power pop song. Moon at Noon is a little, you know, punk rock, but it's more power pop and mellow. And then No Condition is a little bit even mellower than that. And, you know, it's just weird. You know, we're just writing songs that we feel, you know, again, we're in our 50s now. It's like, who are we trying to impress? You know, now we just write for ourselves. If we like it, let's record it.
Very cool. Well, Giz, man, thanks so much for speaking with me today on Our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, man. This is the coolest conversation I've ever had.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
I would love to do it again.
Yeah. All right. Well, first, here's Foreclosure with their brand new single, No Condition, in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Conversation again. Sometimes a pain is useful as I feel you start to grow into that vast emptiness. I see you walking through this crowded, crowded room. A pain.
With a portion of their single No Condition, that's Foreclosure here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's lead singer, Giz Laszlo, for chatting with me today. And thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Norway's Cocktail Slippers have a new digital single out of Wicked Cool Records called I Still Dream You, and they're doing some U.S. shows in support of the new release. Their lead guitarist, Rocket Queen, will be my guest next time around to tell us all about the new song and the upcoming shows. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.